There is something about interior design that always feels so far out of reach. As we get into a new season, we are all getting ready to prepare our outdoor spaces and get ready to gather in a new way with fresh colors and textures and all of those beautiful, wonderful things that we all love. But how do we tackle it? How do we approach it? What are the action steps and what are some ways that we can approach it with ease? Today's conversation is a really interesting one, a really fun one with our friend Stafford, who is the creator and CEO of Port and Hall. You will learn more about this incredible company that designs luxury, stunning doormats. And as we talk about that, we will also talk about creating ambiance and very simple and intentional spaces for the summer. Whether you are a design guru or you are new to the topic and want to expand your skills, this conversation is for you. Here is a little bit more about our friend Stafford. Stafford Meyer, founder and CEO of Port and Hall, is an interior designer by trade who ran her own interior design business, Stafford Meyer Interiors, for two decades. Her years of experience crafting captivating environments on behalf of her clients afforded Stafford the expertise not only in how to make a home beautiful, but also functional and long-lasting. Port and Hall was born in 2019, out of her desire to develop the best doormat possible, a product she had long searched for without success, accompanied by a commitment to quality and attention to detail. A graduate of Dickinson College and Harrington Institute of Interior Design, Stafford further developed her design skills with the discipline of commercial design at Liber Architects and Liber Cooper Architects. Stafford's natural entrepreneurial spirit led her to establish her own design practice, Stafford Meyer Interiors, in which she was primarily focused on residential spaces in the tri-state area and beyond. It was during her most recent work when she saw the continuous need for the type of mat that would ultimately launch Port and Hall. However, it wasn't until suffering a health scare that Stafford ultimately set out to create the mat she had long envisioned. She credits this life-changing time as the catalyst for her to establish Port and Hall. Stafford lives in Bronxville, New York with her husband, three children, and two dogs. And oh my word, you're just going to love this conversation and the product that she created and all the inspiration as we go into this new season. Hi, I'm Katie, a hospitality educator and the host of Making Room by Gather podcast. I am set to see our communities get back to the table through hospitality, but it wasn't always this way. My husband and I moved to Thailand, and through it, I experienced some loneliness. And with it, I was given a choice: to sit back and accept it or to do something about it. And for me, that meant two things: that I needed the healing to learn how to accept an invitation and the confidence to know how to extend one. Through this process, I developed some of the richest and deepest relationships of my life. Through Making Room by Gather, you will hear conversations from myself and experts in the areas of food, design, and relationships. You see, there are countless things trying to keep us from the table. But can I tell you something? Take a seat, because you are ready. You are capable. You are a good host. This Father's Day, treat the dads you know to the ultimate grilling experience with Good Ranchers. Finding the right gift is hard, but they've got you covered with the finest, high-quality meats that will make any dad's taste buds sing. He'll be firing up the grill and sinking his teeth into tender steaks, juicy burgers, and succulent chicken sourced from local farms across the country. Their commitment to quality means that you are getting 100% American-raised meat, ensuring that every bite is full of authentic, mouth-watering taste that every dad craves. Plus, for a limited time, save $30 on your box when you use my code GATHER. Whether your dad likes to grill for the family, host a backyard cookout, or just loves to eat meat, Good Ranchers has the gift to put a smile on his face and a big steak on his grill. Head on over to goodranchers.com today and shop their Father's Day deals and bundles. Be sure to use my code GATHER when you check out for $30 off your gift of American meat at goodranchers.com. Give a dad you know American meat delivered. So you have a long history with design just in your life and career. But I actually want to know more about it because you're a new friend of the show. And so I kind of want to go back to the beginning of your story, whatever you would deem the beginning, and tell us when you first recognized your love for design, the importance of it, really, I guess, whatever you want us to know about the journey that led you here.
Yeah, I think I always knew I'm just a visual person. When I walk into a space or, you know, outdoors, I'm always looking at the details. And I think that's just innate. And I think most designers will say they have that. It's a curse sometimes, right? I can't help but to go in a space and start looking at how things are all put together. But I didn't start that way. I started out doing marketing for corporate for Westin Hotels. And I did marketing for Pricewaterhouse. And I just wasn't flexing my creative muscles. So I went back to school and I got a degree in interior design, and I've been doing design ever since. And I absolutely love it. Yeah.
Wow.
So I had my own design firm for about 20 years.
I could relate to that. When I was in my teens, we had a family friend say, "Katie, if you ever had to live in a cardboard box, you would make it beautiful." And I was like, well, that's a compliment.
Yeah. It is it's a huge compliment. And, you know, I think some people would say that, like I said, it can be a curse because it's not being judgmental. It's just that there's a eye for making things visually pleasing, right? Yes. And that's what it is. And you know, my kids will say, "You can do anything in my house, but don't mess with mom's island," because there's some things that you just need to be clean and, you know, visually and not taxing on the eyes. I think that's another thing for me as well. Yeah.
Yeah. You're hitting on things that I loved and value too. So your love of design eventually led you to working with clients in your own firm, right? You were the owner.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I started out working at an architecture firm doing corporate design, which was a great, you know, launching board for me and understanding how to do things at scale. And we did corporate interiors and hospitality projects and things like that. And then when I went out on my own, I went into residential.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my gosh. It's so intriguing to me. I kind of think if I went back to like my years in college and study, I would have like minored in something like design. But like you're saying, like, it's never too late, you know?
No. Look at what I'm doing now. We'll get to that.
I'm just curious, what program did you attend for your design training?
So I was living in Chicago and it's now defunct, but actually a lot of designers you would know have come out of the program. It's called Harrington Institute of Design. And it was a interior design, interior architecture program. Yeah.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Yeah. Really interesting. Okay. So I'm curious, as you were working with clients, what were some of the greatest, I call them pain points at Gather when we're talking about hospitality or areas of insecurity that owners or homeowners faced? What were those?
Yeah, I would say that, I guess this sort of segues a little bit into what I'm doing with Port and Hall. But what came over time and time again was obviously a lot of our jobs were with families. And they say, "Oh, we want something that looks good, but it has to be super durable and has to be, you know, pet friendly and baby friendly and all these things." But a lot of things they thought they wanted were not actually going to give them the results they wanted. For example, everybody loves sisal or the natural grass rugs. I love them too. And people always like, "Okay, I want those in my mudroom. I want those in the kids' playroom." And you actually don't. More times than not, you don't, because they are very hard to clean, right? And a lot of them are scratchy, and dogs and babies and pets, they don't like them. They don't like lying on them. And when they get wet, they have a smell. So I love them for other areas if they're not hardworking like that. But for the hardworking areas, people would repeatedly ask me for this. I would give them to them. And then I would have clients come back and say, "We have to replace the rug, right? We have to replace that sisal." I'm like, "Yes, I know.
I told you."
I told you. I try not to ever say "I told you," but there you go.
Yeah.
And so that was actually, you know, one of the things I stored away for when I launched Port and Hall was I wanted to solve for that. So that was definitely one of them. And another one was, by the time you get to an end of a project, or if you're working on a design project, the last things you think about are, you know, at the door, right? Like, "Oh, I need a mailbox. Oh, I need, you know, house numbers." But those are, and this is once again, going into what I do, is first impressions matter, right? What you wear matters, that first impression of how you're presenting yourself. And I just was, it was boggling to me when people, my clients were like, oh, maybe I'll just go get one at the hardware store. Well, we've just worked really, really hard to create this entire, you know, beautiful home for you. And I just think it deserves more than the disposable hardware store mat that's going to shed and you're going to throw it out in 3 months. So that was another one of my moments where I'm like, let's just see if we can do something that relates to this home, relates to your siding, relates to everything we've worked so hard to create. And then I couldn't find it. So that was really the impetus for Porton Hall.
Wow. Kind of in line with what you're saying, the little bit that I know about design and talk about design, I say that design matters because it tells your family's story without words. And so like when your guests come into your home, it's important that it reflects you, right? Kind of like you were saying, the way that you dress, your first impression, it doesn't have to be expensive, but it should be intentional. So I love that you talked about that.
Yeah. And to that point, I totally agree with that. And I also think it's, well, I gave my husband this really beautiful watch for a milestone anniversary. And he was like, okay, this is too much. We're not flashy with the thing. And I was like, this is just a beautiful timepiece. And there's nothing besides your wedding ring that you wear every day of the year, except for a watch. Why not make it beautiful and something that brings you joy? And you know, I believe in those things. And I believe too, not just for your guests when they come over, but what greets you every day when you come into your home. It should make you feel great when you hit that, you know, whatever that doormat is you're hitting, or whatever that first impression is when you walk in after a long day or whatever, that should be something that's purposeful as well.
I remember, so when my husband and I moved to Thailand, the work that we were doing was really heavy. And I remember our leaders, so we were like on support, like people were kind of supporting us like friends and family. So we didn't have a set salary, but they said the most important word of advice we can give you is make your home an oasis. And in that setting, it was important because life was hard, right? Like work was hard, life was hard. But when we came back to America, I'm like, life and work is hard here too. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's not just because we were there. It's important. No matter what area of work you're in, life's hard. Your home should be your oasis.
100% agree.
Hard and beautiful, right? I don't want to just dwell on the hard, but okay. So did you like working with clients? Was that a life
thing?
You did? Okay.
Because I love design and I love making people's homes, making them have something special that they love like that. Like there's no greater joy for me. I think, you know, I do believe life has phases and you need to always be flexing new muscles. And for me, my story is I had a dream project with a dream client and a dream budget. And at the end of it, I was like, that was great. I think I'm done now. Right. I mean, I really had a moment of like, when you have something that's as good as it can be of what you do, and then you realize, okay, I think I'm ready to do something else. Yeah.
That's a really good segue. I was going to ask you, like, in the back of your mind, were you always looking for change or hungry for change? But it sounds like maybe it just hit you, right? One day you just knew you were ready.
I was ready for, when you have that definitely was a moment where I was very hyper aware that was time. But I had been having this idea for this crazy idea I had for a doormat company for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I would talk about it with people and, you know, I'd throw it out there. And then I was actually photographing that same project I just mentioned that was a great project. And we were photographing it with a shelter magazine photographer. And all he does is shoots for homes. And I was telling him about this. And he said, oh, the first thing I do when I photograph a home is I take away the doormat. First thing. I was like, okay, that was my aha moment. Where I'm like, why is that? Why can it not be something that's additive instead of something that you have to automatically take away because it's so horrible. So that was my aha moment. And then I started just researching and doing things, but honestly, it's such a crazy idea that starting a doormat company. But what really tipped me over, I guess, was then I had a stroke and when I was 46, and I was completely healthy and, out of nowhere. And, you know, that was a real life-changing moment. And turns out I had a very large hole in my heart that we didn't know I had. So it was about a year of, rehabilitation to get me back to where I was. And at the end of that, I was like, and then I was great. And I said, you know, okay, I almost died. So how bad could it be to start doing this crazy idea? And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But you know, the world's not going to end. And, you know, there's that, a lot of people talk about those life-changing moments that make you do things, but I don't, you know, it really was true for me. It took the fear out of it. Right. Because when you almost die, then you're like, okay, so sure, I'll give this a try. And if it doesn't go, well, not a big deal. It does really puts things in perspective, I guess, really quick. So then I was off to the races, and I spent another year and a half designing what I wanted an outdoor mat to do. And I wanted it to relate to your home. I wanted it to have features, almost like an outdoor piece of furniture. So, you know, a lot of those Corrier, the sisal-y mats that a lot of people have, the thing with those is they shed a lot and they absorb water. And for me, I never understood that, because they also typically, they don't color coordinate with your home in any way. Most people's homes are not that color. Most people's palette, their flooring is not that color. So it was also important to me to try to have things that key off of aspects. So our Outsider is our flagship outdoor mat. And the corners are metal to match hardware. They can match your hardware is one thing. And then they have wood sides that can, if you have any woods, they could coordinate with a wood door or wood floors, and has a removable insert. So make cleaning easy. So those were all the things that we built. I'd never manufactured anything. I had never designed anything. So it was a very steep learning curve, but one that was really fun for me. Until I got my first sample, I waited 6 months, thought it was going to be fantastic. And it was a disaster and it went right into the dumpster. But that was also, you know, you learn, and we finally got there. And so that was our flagship product, was the Outsider, which was sort of what started it all.
Man, I think stories like this are my favorite. Obviously, I'm not happy that any of those things happened.
The best things come out of the worst things. And yeah, I really do feel that. And I think if I hadn't had the stroke, I probably wouldn't be here today talking to you about this company. So
yeah, I guess that's what I was getting at. When a lot of us hit rock bottom, we're like, oh my gosh, we're stuck here. This is it, you know? But there's an invitation, right? To be like bold and take risks. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that you did that. And I mean, with so many of our guests, I love seeing the stepping stones too. Like, you know, every season leading up to it was so important that led to this. Very, very cool. How did your family and friends respond when you said you wanted to launch a doormat company? Because so it's okay, funny. So here's why I ask that, because you've developed such a high end, like stunning product, but that's probably not the first thought people had when you
said it. Absolutely not. No, yeah. I actually have one of my oldest friends who's actually an investor with us now. And she was like, she flat out said, I thought you were nuts. Like, what in the world are you doing? Yeah, no, I got a lot of that. And so you also have to be tough skinned, right? But I definitely, for me at least, I felt like it was so clear to me that there was a hole in the market here. And, you know, even this goes into when I just did our first round of fundraising this year. And, you know, people be like, it's a niche market. I was like, is it a niche market? Because everybody I know has a doormat. It's just that nobody likes their doormat. So it's like one of those things that it's always historically been, you know, you need it and you have it. I want to turn into you need it and you want it, right? I want to have that paradigm shift, and I want it to be something that is a little bit aspirational, right? And why can't it be? It's something you're paying money for, and you touch it a million times a day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. I think of doormats. So I'm definitely a sucker for those like cute phrases on doormats for the season. Right. But I'm always frustrated. End of the season, the thing's destroyed. You throw it away. And I'm like, okay, this was a piece of junk. You know, like my doormat actually does matter to me. But when I saw yours, I didn't even know that this level was possible. Okay. So I want to stop just for a second and backtrack to talk about Porton Hall. I love the name, first of all. I think it's so beautiful. It's so classy. Let's stop. How'd you come up with the name?
That's sort of a good story as well. We launched with the name Porch, P-O-R-C-H, and Hall. And there was a potential for a trademark issue with another company. And so I said, okay, I don't even want to get into that. I've got enough fish to fry right now. I mean, they didn't come after us, but it was a potential. And so I said, you know, port is the Italian and French word for door. And I think it's beautiful. And we didn't change any of our visuals. You know, all of our graphics stayed the same. We literally switched out a CH for a TE. And I think it was a great, you know, a great thing to have happened because I actually love Port and Hall more. So that's how we came up with the name.
I love it. Yeah. That makes me love it even more. It's so funny because I just have a little bit of background in like some European languages that didn't even click to me that that's like at first glance, but I love knowing that. I love it. It makes it so much better. Better than before. Okay. So what makes your collections at Port and Hall different? So we just talked about my doormat that I throw away at the end of every season. But this is different, right? So, I mean, tell us all these unique factors.
Yeah. So we touched on the Outsider, which is our flagship outdoor mat. And that's definitely meant for more of a covered porch area. You can leave it out exposed, but it will definitely shorten its lifespan. That's like our premium. And then for the indoor, the two lines I launched with were very specific for what the pain point I was trying to solve. We've spoken about one. Our Interweave line is our faux sisal, or our, you know, it's more like a rug. It looks like a sisal, but it's incredibly durable. It's so soft under feet. It's natural colors. It's woven on the same looms in Europe where they weave the natural grasses and the wools. And it's just a beautiful product. And then our other one was like, okay, I want something that's super thin, because a big pain point for a lot of people, especially people who live in apartments and things, is the door catches on your indoor mat, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want it to be super, super thin. I want it to have not move, and I want it to absorb moisture. And we have this line called the Insider, which it's such a big, people like, oh, it's flimsy and small. I mean, if there's a detractor, people love this product because it is so, it's not flimsy, but it's very, very thin. And you get a lot in that thin package. And we have a lot of fun patterns. I design all the patterns for that. And I'm coming out with new patterns all the time. And, you know, I have one for every season. So they're super easy to roll up and store. And so it's just a quick way at a low price point to, right when you walk in your door, to have something that's, you know, bright and punchy and bright green for summer. And I have, you know, a palette for fall. And we definitely, you know, we don't lean so much into the Santa and reindeer for holiday, but we have, you know, we have a nod to the season with red and green palettes. I think it's just a universal product that I think is a great one. And then we've just launched our second outdoor line called the Outlier, which I designed, and I'm incredibly proud that we're making it 100% in the US and we're manufacturing it ourselves here. And I spent about a year and a half, almost 2 years, designing this one. And I'm really excited about this one because we're calling it the luxury workhorse. And this is one that can be exposed to all the elements, you know, on your back patio, on, you know, the one that gets all the sun or all the snow. It's meant to work really hard to get things off your shoes, but look beautiful while you're doing it.
Wow. Goodness. I'm just thinking, like, as a business owner and the little bit of product development I've done, the amount of testing that has had to go into all of this is probably, I mean, I could just appreciate that. So if no one else does, like, I see all the work that goes behind that launch. Cause that's a ton of work to lead up to something like this.
It really is. And it's been, you know what, and it's been fun. The great thing, look, there's a couple silver linings of the pandemic. You know, when I was first launching, we're not even quite 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was really cost prohibitive to think about manufacturing here in the US. And I will say COVID and the way things have gone, you know, so many people are trying to do it here. It is easier. The prices, you know, I've been able to make the price work. And we're just super excited about that. And being able, it also has made it still a very long process, to your point, yes. But at least when you're dealing with Same time zone, same country, not importing, exporting. It really does. It's been a joy to do it this way. And we're really happy about that.
That's great. It's a value that a lot of people hold, you know, US made. And I think it's important. So I'm glad that people know that. It's great.
Yeah.
So we are approaching summer. Hallelujah. Especially in Connecticut. I'm like, oh my gosh, could we just get there already?
Good grace.
So I know so many of us are ready for it though. So one thing we may not feel ready for though is designing our indoor and outdoor spaces, talking about those pain points again. A lot of us entertain kind of like the most during the season out of the whole year. And so entertain or gather, I try to trying to change that verbiage, but I would love to hear from you maybe five tips or so on ways that we could practically and attainably design a space that we feel confident in this season.
Yeah. So I'm going to stick to the porch just because that's what we're talking about for summer and the outdoors. I'd start with, I'm sure a lot of people talk about this, but it really is true, at least for me and how I like to think about things, is the texture and the layering. So if you've got an outdoor seating area, like really add, it doesn't even have to be bright colors if you're not into that, but add some different textures of a couple pillows or, you know, add those, even a throw or whatever it is, because just those little details really make a huge difference in making it feel personal and inviting. Another thing, and obviously we have an indoor-outdoor rug, our interweave line, and, you know, all of ours are natural tones. So I often like using those for exterior because sometimes you don't want to take away from nature. I like always letting it be, you know, center stage. But those layers of texture on the floor and other areas do a lot from having things I think feel welcoming. And most people, I think you're not ever far away from a door if you're sitting outside, right? You're usually within striking distance of a kitchen or something. And I would say for that, really pay attention to that door because it gets used a lot. And obviously our two lines, you know, have different color palettes that work. Our outlier line, I did three colorways to work with three. The majority of homes either have, you know, three colors, right? You either have grays, so if it's concrete or slate or another gray hued tone, or you have sort of the warm browns, you've got brick or you've got wood decking or things like that. Or especially if you're in warmer climates like Florida, California, you've got those lighter stones and materials, like those off whites and cream colors. And so our outlier line is, has one to work with all through those palettes. So it doesn't jump out at you, but it once again adds that texture, that layer, and it also works. So, and then the other thing is if you've got the real estate for it, I am a huge lover of planters on either side or even one side of a door. It's just a big bang for your buck, right? It anchors your door. It makes it look purposeful. It makes it look like it's a real threshold. It's an event that you're going through. And so if you've got space for it, I'd say, you know, add a planter and some seasonal plants in there.
I don't know if you've ever been, as you were saying that, I was thinking, West Elm has like an outlet store. It's like an Overstock. Have you ever been?
No. Where?
Yeah. So, I mean, I love West Elm.
I do too.
And yeah, it was just like an outlet center. I was visiting my in-laws and I just happened to see it. It was incredible. It was just like the Overstock and the planters were like, I mean, like somewhere like $50, $100 off for some of these planters.
Wow.
So it was a great way to get like the styles that you love at a much more affordable price,
a reasonable price.
Yeah. And not that we're talking about bedding, but I was blown away by the bedding they had too. I mean, really? You save hundreds and hundreds of dollars, but
okay, yeah. I got to check that out.
You do. And
I do. I love West Elm. I think they get it right. I really do. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a Restoration Hardware one next to it. We didn't get to go in, but it's a smart way to shop for the season.
Yeah.
I was 100%. Thinking along with something else you said, I've heard in the design world, I'm not sure if you would agree, to bring the inside out and the outside in.
So very true.
Right. And so not to be scared this season to bring, like you were saying, throw pillows, rugs, things like that to your outdoor lighting, to your outdoor spaces, because we all want like cozy right now. We all want ambiance. It's huge. We're all, I feel like we're all aware of it right now in culture, and those are easy ways to do it.
Yeah. And they're sort of everywhere right now. Speaking of that, bringing it outside in, the LED chargeable lantern lights, you know what I'm talking about? They look like chandelier, little tabletop lights, almost like you'd see on a restaurant table. They're very popular this year. I love them. There's just to put on a side table, put a couple, three or four down your outdoor dining table. They're fantastic. And as you go into night, they really do add that ambiance.
There are some of the overhead string lights too that are more like the fairy ones, not the huge bulbs. And they're actually solar powered too. And so it makes it so easy. You don't have to worry about extension cords and all of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been loving those.
Yeah, they have those. This is not as inexpensive, but you're in Connecticut. I am also a big fan. We're gonna keep plugging other people right now. We did West Elm, and now we're gonna do Terrain.
Oh, I love Terrain. So I was gonna mention them before. I was like, oh, I'll leave them out, but no, we could talk about Terrain.
But they have those little fairy lights, and they're fantastic.
Terrain, yeah. I feel like their model is genius. It's like in the cafe. I mean, goodness, they hit it so well. They know their customer, they do. Anything else that you wanted to talk about Porton Hall or design that you're feeling particularly passionate about? I'll pass the mic to you if you have anything.
Yeah, I guess I'd say, look, we're all of our leadership is female and we're growing fast. And my goal is to keep bringing products to help it make it easy for people to have those hardworking areas, especially at your home, be special and meaningful. And, having a female team is super important to me. And also, like I said, coming back to the US and doing as much as we can here. And, it's interesting, when I started this, I went to one of the largest shows in the world for buying rugs and mats and doormats. And I called my husband and I said, okay, well, the bad news is there's nothing here I want to buy. And I said, the great news is there's nothing here I want to buy. And I was like, and it's because I'm looking around and it was almost all men, right? It's a very male dominated, I would say it's a little bit, no pun intended or pun intended, dormant industry. And, it's so fun for me to think about different ways of, and I'd also say, I guess any of your listeners too, like I love hearing from people about things that their pain points of like what they hate about their doormat or what they love about even their, we do a lot of, not just for your entryway, people use our indoor mats for kitchens and laundry rooms and kids' rooms and hallways. And those, I call them all the hardworking areas for a family. And so I guess I also say I love from hearing people of things that their pain points and what they would love to see.
Yeah, that's great. Reach out, guys. Seriously, take those invitations seriously, because I love when you guys offer that because I know that you mean it, like our guests on the show. And it's a great opportunity. For both of you, right? It makes it a lot more personal.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
Well, so much I love about this conversation, but we end each conversation with the same three questions for all of our guests. And I would love to hear your answers as well. You are currently in Europe. I know London's not a huge food hub, but what is something you have eaten recently and loved?
So it sounds like I'm just traveling all the time. It's not true, but I am in London. I am in London and I was just in Mexico City. And first of all, I love that city. I think it gets a bad rap. It is a beautiful city and it was some of the best food I've ever had, but most specifically the best fish taco I've ever put in my mouth. And I love fish tacos. So that was my plug for Mexico City and their cuisine, full stop. That's what I'd say to that.
Yeah. What was on it? This is crazy. I live in Connecticut on the shoreline and I have had I have had very limited seafood in my life. I just haven't explored it. So what is it about the fish taco that's so like that people just go crazy over?
Yeah. So this one, So now we're really going to get into it. First of all, the taco itself has to be corn, and it has to be like not dry, it has to be like really a good consistency, and it was perfect. And then you need a little bit of the sauce that they put on the fish taco. It needs to be grilled and not fried. So it was grilled really fresh fish, and it had just enough, you know, it's like that perfect mixture of not too dry, so not enough sauce, but not too much. And it had tons of fresh cilantro and other herbs and lettuce. It was delicious, and a little bit of mango on it. It was to die for.
I really find that the dishes that are the best have the simplest ingredients.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Totally. You just have to have like the good quality, simple ingredients. Okay, yeah. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe.
Okay, there's a great fish taco place near you, the Bar Tacos.
I was just going to say Bar Tacos. What one do you go to? The West Hartford one?
No.
You don't have to tell me.
Mamaroneck. But there's lots. I know there's a couple. It's not as good as Mexico City, I'm not going to lie, but it's pretty good.
Okay. I usually walk right past Bar Taco and go to Barcelona. Have you been to Barcelona? Okay. The tapas?
I have not. No.
It's phenomenal. So it's all the small plates, obviously. But every single bite, you're like almost satisfied, like so satisfied you don't need another bite of anything, you know? They change their menu pretty regularly, but that's my spot.
Okay. All right. Good to know. I'll check it out.
Yeah. We could swap. You try Barcelona. I'll try Bar Taco. How about a gathering you attended that made you feel a strong sense of belonging? And if you could pinpoint it, what it was that made you feel that way?
Okay. This is an easy one. Leia. I just went to a big milestone birthday party, I don't know, 200 people, but they had a theme, but they also had on their invite that phones would be checked at the door and you could still access them if you wanted to go. They had an attendant, so you could go if you needed to call kids or whatever you needed. But first of all, the party was fantastic. And because the party was fantastic and they had lots of amazing things that went on, everybody would have been on their phones filming the whole thing, right? Because it was so incredible. So it was amazing that taking everybody's phones away, nobody missed them. Nobody was sad about it. Everybody was so in the moment, and it made you feel so connected in a way that I don't know if we have for a while. So I came away saying, if I do my next big party, I'm absolutely going to try to do it. And they did it just so tastefully we'd appreciate it. They didn't make it sound like it was a big deal, and it just was, everybody was happy to do it. And it changed the whole flavor of the entire night.
Wow.
That would be what I'd say.
I was going to ask, how would you recommend someone replicate that if they're listening and they're like, mm-hmm. I would love to do that. So you said just like the wording was very tasteful, right? It wasn't.
Yeah. I wish I could remember exactly what it was, but it's basically like, in order to be like, it was something like, in the moment, we'd love, we're going to have the ability to check. It was just like more like on offer, you will be, able to check your phone at the door and have access when needed. And it was simple. And it wasn't like an option. It was like, you're coming to this party and this is how it's going to go, but it was said so beautifully. And I think I sort of feel like with my kids too, like, they secretly love it when you take away their phone sometimes. And I felt like everybody at this party was so happy to turn it over.
Wow. That's good. I'm glad you said that. I think a lot of people are scared to do that. But that's a good invitation for people to explore that option. How about something you have discovered recently that you think everyone should know about? It could be an Amazon purchase, a Netflix show, whatever comes to mind.
Yep. So mine is an app. Because I love plants. I love trees. I love nature. I know nothing about it. I really don't. And, we're actually building a house in Vermont. And so there are so many, natives that I have no idea about, and I wish I did. And somebody turned me on to an app called Picture This, and you can take a picture of any leaf, any tree, anything that's growing. And it will tell you the name of it and the history of it and how to care for it. And for me, not knowing anything about plants, it's been a game changer. Wow. I can still kill things, don't get me wrong, but at least it helped me a little bit.
I'm looking at 4 succulents in front of me and I'm like, people told me I couldn't kill these and they're dying. I feel like that's helpful for a lot of people. So picture this, you said, right?
Yep. Yep. Okay. It's been, and it's fun too, right? I mean, it's immediate gratification on knowing things, and it's great.
That was one of my kind of like goals for this year, that if I have a question or if I'm wondering something, that I'm going to look it up, you know, to just be a learner.
Yeah.
There's so much to learn and know, and
there is
ways to grow. Well, absolutely. Thank you so much for this. This was so timely, I think, as we go into the summer and we're spending more time outdoors. So where do you want to send people to learn more about you and to hopefully shop?
So yes, our website would be the best place, Port and Hall, P-O-R-T-E and Hall, H-A-L-L.com. We're also obviously on Instagram and Pinterest and anywhere else you want to look us up. But to purchase, please go to our website.
Well, thank you so much, guys. I hope that the beginning of your summer is off to a beautiful start, and we will see you next week.
Thank you so much. Oh, and yeah. I should say we were going to do a code for your listeners if yes. you wanted, for 20% off if you put in GATHER20 at checkout.
Amazing. Take advantage of that, guys. Well, enjoy the weather and all of your entertaining these next few weeks, and we will see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Katie.